And it is good to be here this morning. I'm so glad that you took the time and attention to show up this morning. I'm sure everyone is super excited about it, and seeing me was even making it worthwhile, right? No? All right. So we are going to talk about a subject today that frankly is one that I know is helpful to every single person in this room, but it is challenging to me personally. This is something I have to push the reset button on a regular basis. Maybe some of you don't, and you've absolutely conquered it. This is something I have to work on a lot, which means it is a mastery type of journey. This is not a one-and-done thing. For many people who really strive to be their best, or maybe you're driven, or you're very production-minded, this can be something that is very challenging. As we head into this truth, I think the truth is applicable to every person in this room. I think it is very beneficial. And if you can just simplify and slow down and think of how you can apply it as I talk through this, I think it would be very helpful for all of us. Because sometimes we get to a habit of rushing through our day and through our week. If I ask you right now, how many of you had an absolutely amazing week? Who would raise their hand? Okay, a couple of you. Excellent. How many of that meant that your family was out of town, you were home by yourself? That's what made it an amazing week. Okay. There's all sorts of things that we look at, but you know what? Sometimes we get into this pattern, and today was just another day. This week was just another week. This month is just another month. If I ask you, what are you really looking forward to today? Some of you would say something 2 months off, 3 months off. This holiday, this trip, this event. And I'm all for that. I think you should. But not at the expense of missing today. Not at the expense of enduring today. Now, sometimes we get in this rush of life, and I want to take a few minutes and give a different perspective, if I can, on that. So let's look at this first picture and see what comes to mind as we look at this picture. When you see this right here, how many of you right now, I know mine, when I look at this picture, and I knew it was coming, my mouth started to salivate. How many of you like cinnamon rolls? What's wrong with the rest of you? The one thing that does frustrate me, I feel like even when I walk by Cinnabon, I gain weight. You ever notice that? And if I take a deep breath and inhale that amazing smell of those cinnamon rolls, I feel like I gained more weight. Anybody with me? Now, if I go in and buy it, and then I get extra frosting, that does not help. How many people like extra frosting on Cinnabon? You know what? Some of you right now, you're judging me. You're just jealous. How many people get two extra frostings? Anybody just living on the edge? Okay. When you see this, you can almost smell it, taste it, and you're probably, some of you have this like silly grin on your face. Like you're thinking about it. Why? Because this is something you enjoy. Okay? Maybe this is not your cup of tea. Let's see what the next picture is. How many of you, when I put this picture on the screen, you think this? Okay? So if you can have this. Now, how many of you, when you see this on the screen, you can smell that amazing kind of that cooking of the meat. You can almost hear that sizzle. The compound butter on the top, you can see it melting. You know it's going to be juicy, and it is a perfectly cooked steak. How many of you think, yeah, that would make it a good day? I agree. And you see this, and you think, well, if I had that, that would make it an enjoyable day, okay? Maybe you think of a destination. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I took all of our adult children, if they have families, their families, and we all met and went to a destination. We like the mountains. We like hiking. We like nature. We like all those type of things. And we went and had a big adventure, and we enjoyed it. So when we look forward to it, this is what we thought for us was a good destination. We like this type of place. And if you said, well, if I were there today, I would enjoy it. When I see this, I can almost feel the stillness. maybe hear some of nature, maybe even hear that rush of running water. I get excited. And you think, well, if I had that cinnamon roll for breakfast, if I had that steak for lunch, if I knew I was in this location right here, man, that would make it a good day. How many people think that would be amazing? But instead, what happens is we look at our life as the next picture on the screen. This is what we see. You're like, now back to reality. Some of you are back to school, right? This is what you see. Back to reality. And you know what? This is what it can feel like to some people every Monday morning. Back to the grind. Back to work. Some of you feel this is how you view your family, your life. This is how you view aspects. And you wonder why you would skip days, weeks, months. Some people would skip whole seasons of their life. Talk to a man who has 9-year-old twin boys, trying to help him, and he lives in another state, business guy. And he says, I just can't wait till my kids are grown and out of the house. Now, I tried to challenge him on that. He wants to skip an entire season with his children. Now, I have a hard time comprehending that. We love that our kids are adults, love supporting them, love the direction they're heading and what they're achieving. But we also loved when they were home at 9 years of age. We loved all of it. And sometimes we miss this part of life. So, how many of us are going to savor and enjoy today? Because the word I want to focus on is that one right there. Savor. When I say savor, I want to ask you, savor means to slow down and intentionally enjoy something. If you had that cinnamon roll, if you had that steak, if you had that mountain view, you would probably slow down and intentionally say, this is good. That makes us enjoy it. It's not rushing. It's intentionally savoring. You do not have to answer. I want you to think in your mind, how many of you had a moment in the past 7 days that you think, I truly savored that moment? How many would say, I know what it was? It could be a small moment. It could be a day. But you intentionally savored. Now, I had the advantage of knowing I was going to speak on this. So I know that's an advantage. But this week, watching when our two grandchildren got to our house, and both of them, with huge smiles, were rushing to my wife, they call her Yaya, and saying, Yaya, up, up, both of them saying up, and she's trying to hold both of them. And they're so ecstatic to see her. And I watched her face. She's ecstatic that they are so just loving and attracted to her. I could savor that. My little grandson this week, he was talking about a cowboy throwing a rope, so I thought about the Lone Ranger. Have you ever heard of the Lone Ranger? For some reason, all three of our boys, at some point when they were really little, liked the Lone Ranger. He's just turned 3, so I realized I have the Lone Ranger white cowboy hat put away, so I went and got that. When he came, I said, hey, Drew, and I got that white cowboy hat, and I'm wearing it. I had no idea. I just happened to voice Lone Ranger. There was an entire channel dedicated to that 1950 series of the Lone Ranger. Anybody know that but me? I had no idea. I was like shocked. This is actually on? It was on. He was just intrigued. Watch this. You know how much fun it was for me to watch him enjoy that? What have you savored this week? I don't know, you don't feel guilty. If you didn't this past week or month, why don't we the next day, week, month? Now, some of you are wondering, is this even in Scripture? Boy, I hope it's not, because this is really challenging. I'm with you. So I went on a little bit of a journey to say, is this even in Scripture? Do I need to do this? A verse that we're going to look at is type of verse that I almost feel like it's that mom part of you. You know the moms that say, you're going to do this and you will enjoy it. You ever heard that type of tone from your mom before? Some of you are married to someone, your wife pulls that out to the kids, you're like, whoa, okay. You ever had that? Or like, when you take a family picture, everyone smile now. Have you ever had that before? In the picture, everyone's kind of looking like this, like it's amazing. You post it on social. This is that type of verse. So let's look at it. Psalm 118, 24 says this. This is the day the Lord has made. Okay, today, who made today? The Lord. What are we supposed to do? He made the day. We are supposed to what? Rejoice. That is an intentional, we're going to bring joy back, rejoice, and be glad in it. We are supposed to rejoice, push that reset button of rejoicing, and be glad in it. How many of us, that defines our past 7 days? But how many of us that could define our next seven? How about today? How about you take it a day at a time? How about tomorrow? Talk to another man this week, and you would say he's very monetarily successful, and you would say, man, he's got world conquered. And you know what he says? He gets such extreme anxiety every single Sunday. He shuts everybody out because he is so terrified of going to work on Monday. This guy has enough money, he could retire today. He is my age, retire today. You would think, man, he has nothing to worry about. And yet, he struggles and cannot savor. So you may think, well, if I had that, no, that's not true. It is our job and it's our perspective that allows us to savor. I don't know your life situation, but I do know it is possible for each of us to slow down, rejoice, and be glad in today. The weather today is absolutely unbelievable. Savor it. The feeling of this church, camaraderie, companionship, savor it. Our health, savor it. Do you know when I got out of bed this morning, I had no pain and could just get out of bed easily? Do you know I had all my faculties about me? Do you know I could choose if I did or didn't want to eat and what I got to eat? You don't have a wife that's absolutely beautiful, 32 years that I've been with her. I'm looking forward to the next. You know that she is extremely talented and I get to interact with her in life. I got to see my adult son and his wife and our two little grandchildren this morning. Our other two boys have already texted us this morning. When I see that, am I savoring that? Or am I yawning through it? So will we rejoice today or will we endure today? What are you going to do? Rejoice, endure. Which one has defined you? Rejoice or endure? Now, we got actual footage of some of you, maybe not coming in today, but going to work. So if we could, let's show that actual clip that we have. This is some of you this morning. This could be you getting ready for school tomorrow. How many of you see your kids? This is how they actually get ready for school. How many of you, this is pre-coffee? Maybe, how many of you, this is pre-coffee? Okay. This is it. How many of you, this is relatable? If there's someone in the room but not you that is relatable about, why don't you point at them right now? All right. This is what we're doing. Is this savoring? No. Because our lives should convince the people around us to follow Christ through the joy of serving him. If you could show that, please. Our lives should convince others to follow Christ through our joy of serving him. Do you know what's my responsibility today? And keep in mind, responsibility, how I respond to life is my ability. It's in my control. My responsibility to show other people that I'm different so they too want to follow the Lord. What are they seeing in you at home, at work, at school? Are you showing that savor, that joy of following the Lord? Just a few years ago, our family did a workout on a July 4th morning, and we came home, me and my three boys came home, my wife did too. She said, I'm going to go grill. She went out and started grilling, which is a great thing. She was a really good cook, looking forward to it. I remember going in and turning on the TV, and there was a eating competition, I believe at Coney Island, between Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi. Has anybody ever heard of those people or seen this before? I had never seen it. I had heard of Joey Chestnut, Kobayashi, and I know that they have this long, onstanding battle of who can win, back and forth. So I said, hey guys, let's watch this. I've heard about it, haven't seen it. We were watching this. I don't know if you've ever watched this, but if you have not, it's definitely an experience. They get all these hot dogs and buns in front of them. They get a big jug of water, pitcher of water, right here. They say go. They grab the whole hot dog, shove it down in this water, pull it up, and just shove it in their mouth as fast as they can. As they're shoving and doing the one, they do it. Sometimes they're shoving more than one whole hot dog. And by the way, I looked it up. The hot dogs that they use and the hot dog buns that they use are very high quality. People pay a lot of money to use. Hey, use our product. Because they want to say we are in that competition. So this is high quality stuff. We watched as Joey Chestnut won that. He ate something like 64 hot dogs or something in a very short amount of time. It was unbelievable. My wife, at the end of it, she's like, hey, dinner's ready. We're like, She's like, what is wrong? And I'm trying to rewind it. She's like, why are you watching that? Because it's on. But that picture, if you could show Joey Chestnut, this is Joey Chestnut. This is him dominating the competition. This is him winning. Joey Chestnut is fairly well known for this, competitive eating. And here's what you think. Here's what I can think. I'm going to be a competitive life person. I'm just going to force feed life, and I'm going to win at life, and I'm going to shove that hot dog in and shove it in my mouth. I'm going to shove that work week in, shove it in my mouth. I'm going to shove this in and work more and more to accumulate more and more, and I'm just force feeding very high quality stuff into my life. Force feeding. How fast can I do it? Oh, my neighbor got that. Oh, my coworker got this. Oh, my brother or sister, my family member got this. I've got to keep up, and you're force feeding life, and you're just going through life through the motions. And this is what you look like. But you think, well, I want to be Joey Chestnut. And I want to dominate, win, and win all these money prizes and trophies and medals. I'm going to win at life. That's how we can live. There's a verse in Proverbs we're going to show. Proverbs says, you go to it, a person who is full refuses honey. Okay, honey, maybe you like it, but it represents the very delectable desserts, amazing, enjoyable things. If you're full, I've had enough, refuse honey. Have you ever eaten so much you don't want anything else? You literally don't want anything else? I've only done this one time in my life. The first time that I went to Texas and tried Western-style brisket, years ago. I remember the very first time. I'm eating at this restaurant in Texas. This absolutely is embarrassing to tell. I ate and ate, and literally, I've never had this before since, I could not breathe. I ate so much, I could barely breathe. I thought I was dying, but in a very good way. I'm like, God, take me to heaven now. Brisket was unbelievable. I ate so much. I was so full. If you would have put the best dessert in front of me in the world, I could not have eaten it. Could not. I was so full, I would refuse whatever you put in front of me. You know, God put a gift in front of us today called today. And you may be so full, you don't even want it. You're force-feeding yourself with all these other things. You don't even want it. When I'm full, show no appreciation. No gratitude. I feel entitled. I feel like everything's owed to me. What do you got for me today, God? What do you got for me at work? What do you got for me this? Oh, one more burden. Oh, one more text. Oh, one more phone call. One more email. Oh, my family's bothering me again. What are the kids going to do tonight? What is my partner going to do tonight? That's how you view. You know what it is? You're full, and you don't even want the good things of life. Do you know how many people today would love to have your position of life, your ability to move, your health, your relationships,
your opportunities, do you know how many? But we become full. And we don't even want the good things. Look at the second half. But even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. Have you ever been so hungry that you want something that's not even really that good, but it tastes good in the moment? Have you ever been so hungry that even a rice cake tasted good? Some of you are like, well, I thought so. I tried eating. I'm like, yeah, still not good. Everybody? How many people really like rice cakes? I'm happy for you. But even bitter food. Do you know, have you ever seen someone who is truly grateful for the simple things that you used to be grateful for? They're hungry. Clean water, simple meal, something that's nice. Are you full today? Or are you hungry and appreciative in your spirit? You know, just like Joey Chestnut's dominating life, you think you're going to dominate life by force feeding it down. You think you're just going to get to retirement. You think you're just going to get past the stage. You're going to get to this season. You're going to get to this season. I'm just going to get to this. And you force feed your life for year after year. And they become decades of life where you force feed. You think at the end you're going to raise your hands. Everyone's going to know who you are, just like Joey Chestnut. Everyone's going to pat you on the back. But instead of that, what actually happens is what we also saw in that food competition, which is this. Show the picture. This is what actually happens to most people who try to force feed and eat life as a competitive eating challenge. You get all that you want, you shove it in your mouth, you live life, and this is what happens. Can you see her eyes are rolling back in her head? Do you know what happened shortly after this? Yes, it did. And you wonder why you're miserable. You wonder why you don't love life, because this is what you're doing. You're not slowing down and savoring life. You're force-feeding life into you. Slow down. Savor it. You're eating high-quality food with no appreciation. God has given you high-quality life, no appreciation. We are force-feeding ourselves. I don't want to live life that way. We'll do you a favor and go to the next slide. The Lord made today. Will you savor it or gag it down? How have you had an approach to life this year? You can change today. You're going to savor it. Man, this is good. Or you're just going to force feed it down. I got to get through today. I got to get to Friday. I got to get to next month. Man, if I could make it to this trip, if I could make it to this time off, if I could make it through this season, gagging it down. What is your approach to life? My wife enjoys cooking, and it's her hobby, some competition. She likes watching Food Network, some of the shows that they have there. So when we travel, Chris actually does as well, when we travel, if there is a rated restaurant, sometimes a Michelin star restaurant or sometimes a chef or some highly reviewed restaurant, we're going to do it in a few weeks when we go to Austin. But when we go, she enjoys different things. If there's a highly rated bakery, if there's all these things, we enjoy doing that. She enjoys. But one of the first times we did that, a few years ago, we were in Washington, D.C. with our family, and there was a place, a bakery there, who had won some big competition on the Food Network. So I thought it was going to be a great idea. Let's go there. My wife, she was so excited, went over there. Now, I thought it was just going to be some little pleasant thing. You walk into a bakery, choose what you want. She's going to be happy, which makes me happy. We get over there. The line is not just out the door. The line is down the block. When I saw the line was, again, not out the door, I mean literally down the block. Do you think I was excited? Was I savoring that in that moment? Like, no. But I'm sitting there thinking, hey, We came this way. We're going to do it. We got in line. It was a long line. We stood there and we keep going. Finally, we get in. My wife feeling all this pressure. I've got to know exactly what I want. I've got to hurry. I'm like, hey, we waited that long line. You know what? 2 more minutes ain't going to kill anyone in this line. Take your time. Savor this moment. She's up there. She's feeling this pressure. Do I get this one or this one? I get it in both. You know how long we waited? But it's $20 a cupcake. Oh. Go ahead and put a picture up. So we got some things like this. Do you think we got this big box or two and we walk out the door? Do you think that we open it up and I said, guys, me and my 3 boys went, let's time us. How fast can we eat these things? Come on, go. Do you think that's what we did? No. My wife took it. She got a knife and she's cutting them all into pieces. Let's try this kind now. What do you think? Mmm, tastes good. Whoa, right? What about this one? Hmm, a little better. Ooh, I like this one. Which one would you get again? Dear God, are we getting back in that line again? But what did we do when we actually got it? Savored it. Telling myself, last year we were in Austin, Texas, which Austin is a great food town, by the way. They have at least 4 Michelin-starred barbecue restaurants, Western barbecue, which is a sign there is heaven on earth. But we were there, and they had a place that's not fancy, but the brisket is unbelievable. So we wanted to go. Pete and I wanted to go. We waited in line 2.5 hours to get the brisket. And if you don't know Austin in summertime, it's a little warm. Was it worth it? It was amazing brisket. Unbelievable. But when we ate it, you savor it. Are you savoring today? You say, but the experience is hard, just like getting in here, just like getting in Franklin's barbecue. But the end result, you savor. Savor. Are you savoring today? Let me show Psalm 34:8 is a verse that challenges me. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. Have you ever looked at something and predetermined if you were going to like it or not before you tried it? Ooh, I'm not going to like that. My wife, how do you know? You haven't tried it. No, I'm pretty sure. But we're supposed to taste. How many of you already decided you're not going to like the next week? Haven't you tasted it? How many of you have already decided you're not going to like this job tomorrow? You're supposed to taste it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Are you going to partner with God to taste and see how the Lord is good? Taste it. Don't predetermine. Don't pre-decide that you don't like it. Don't pre-decide, oh, this is happening. Don't pre-decide. Taste and then see. Some of you pre-decide before you get home from work, before you get home from anywhere, before you go to work in tomorrow morning, you're deciding it's going to be a miserable day. As you go to bed the night before, you're dreading the next day. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Give today a chance and taste it. Don't make up your mind before you live it. Give today a chance. Taste it. Experience it. Savor it. Don't make up your mind before you live it. So, have you tasted God's goodness today? Have you tasted God's goodness today? But it's not even through. But have you tasted it? Have you experienced it? Have you slowed down and said, God, what is good about today? My wife and I were on a safari a few years back in Africa. It was a great experience. It was amazing to go and see the animals and drive across the Serengeti and do these different adventures and see the animals just in their habitat. It was unbelievable. We enjoyed it. But one, we went to three different zones in Africa. One zone that we went to in Africa was more of a desert place. So it was hot, dry, and dusty. Now, it was still good, but it was hot, dry, and dusty, and we were there. And the accommodations, for the most part, we were there. We weren't just putting up a tent on the Serengeti and saying, man, I hope we don't get killed tonight. Okay, it wasn't like that. But it wasn't five-star accommodations. We stayed actually on the Serengeti, actually right on the equator, in a tented camp, but they had elevated tents, so the animals couldn't get us at night. And it was amazing, but man, I just remember that night they had two cots in our tent, like, you know, however big a cot is. And it was so cold because I guess we're high elevation, right on the equator. It was warm in the day, dropped down at night. My wife was shaking. She's like, could I just come get in your cot for a minute so you can keep me warm? I'm like, sure. So she came over, I put my arm around her, and then she fell asleep. I was on my side. How wide are cots? I mean, okay, we're not that big, but still, I'm sitting here, I'm laying on my side. Oh, yeah. I did not savor that night. I was like, I'm trying to like sleep. Next day, she's like, oh, thank you. Man, wasn't that a good night? I sounded like the lions that were out there. My neck, so sore the next day. I can savor it now. Maybe I didn't then. But after a couple of these days and being in that desert, we walked into these gates of a compound. And as we walked through the gates, we went about 20 feet. And I still remember we opened up almost on an oasis. There was green grass, palm trees, pavilions, a swimming pool. And it was like shocking to our senses. Wow. And in the pavilions, they still remember they had these barrels, but cut in half, barrels, wooden barrels. And in the barrels, they had ice, which we had only had lukewarm bottled water for several days. And the food was not. They couldn't take it. We couldn't have the ice brought in. You couldn't just have cold. So everything was lukewarm bottled water for 2 or 3 days. Again, we weren't suffering, but it was definitely different. As we went to those bottles, I mean, through the barrels, we looked in, and inside the ice, there was jammed into the ice Coca-Cola bottles, glass Coca-Cola bottles, shoved down into the ice. Now, we do not drink Coca-Cola much here, but there was no way you were stopping us from drinking Coca-Cola that day there. And I remember we each grabbed one, we opened it, and do you think we said, who can drink it the fastest, go? It probably took us 20 minutes to drink that glass bottle of Coke. And you know what we talked about the entire time we were drinking it? Wow, this is so good. Man, do you think Coke's just better in Africa? Do they just make it different in Africa? This is so good. Man, is yours good? Yeah, mine's really good. I don't think it's this good in the U.S., do you know? I don't think it's this good in the U.S. either. Is it like colder here too? Yeah, it's colder, it tastes better. Is it different? No. Why were we taking 20 minutes to drink a glass bottle of Coke that was cold in Africa? And then talking about how amazing it was? Because the Coke was different? No. Our perspective was different. And that is what it is for our life. How is your perspective? You can blame your life, but just like Coke wasn't different, my perspective was different. Is your perspective one where you can savor? Are you slowly savoring your life? Or are you trying to force feed and take off week-long chunks at a time? Because I know for me, I'm a driven, production-minded person. I want to just force feed and get more done. I want to just tackle and solve problems. And if I'm not careful, I can jump ahead and miss the moments that will matter the most to me. If you said, look back on the last 20 years, do I think back of the days I force-fed myself, or do I think of the days where I slowed down and savored it? Savor. Are you going to savor this week? Are you going to savor tomorrow? How is your outlook today? What is it like? Is your perspective one where you think everything's terrible? A day like today, a beautiful day, years ago, my guess is my two older boys were 6 and 4, and they were playing either Army or Cowboys. I don't remember which one, but it's something with guns. And I pulled in the driveway, and I saw my 4-year-old Pete sitting on the front steps. And he was like this, sitting on the front steps, which wasn't like Pete. He's very active. He's always moving around. I thought, what in the world? So I got on my car, and I went to the front steps and sat down next to him on the front steps. I says, hey, man, what's wrong, buddy? He's like, Dad, I'm terrible at this. Okay, what are you terrible at? This game. I don't know what game you're playing. It looks like you just have some guns next to you. You probably have camo or cowboy outfit on. You're just sitting here. I said, well, why do you think you're not good at it? He goes, because I always miss. I said, what are you missing? He goes, man, me and David, we're playing in this war against each other. And every single time I shoot, I miss. And every single time he shoots, he hits me. I'm really confused. Because there's no bullets in the guns. Everything's make-believe. So I think, well, how do you know that you're missing? He's like, says, David says. I still remember thinking, are you really that gullible? Are you like your mom? All right. Oh, come on. But I still remember at that moment, Pete was here. I'm sitting here. I look over here, and coming up around the corner up the hill is his brother Dave. And he hears this, and he kind of gets a smile on his face like, ugh. Ha, 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 right? I said, Pete, do you know the truth? He kind of looked at me. I said, you're hitting David as much as he's hitting you. He starts to shake his head. No, I said, yes, you are. You're as good a shot as he is. He's just saying that you miss him and lying to you. So I remember Pete was like, Pete gets this fire determination. He's like, bam, David, I got you. So David's looking at me and I'm like, so David's like, oh, you know, he falls down. So Pete is so re-energized. Do you know that can be me and you sometimes? You feel defeated. You feel discouraged. You feel like life is beating you down. And you sit there and say how bad you are at life. And you're pouting and sitting on the sidelines with your head in your hands. And the Lord can come along and say, why aren't you savoring today? Why aren't you enjoying your life? And you're like, because I'm terrible at it. Do you know who's telling you you're terrible at it? It's not the Lord. It's the lie of the devil. You're not terrible at it. You can conquer life. What does Romans 8 say? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can absolutely conquer life today. You can absolutely savor this week. You do not have to let it defeat you. You do not have to let it beat you down. You don't have to let it make you feel overwhelmed. You don't have to let it make you so full of anxiety you can't conquer it. Beat it. Overcome it. Now, as I told Pete that, of course, the next problem is that they're both shooting each other at the same time, and they're both dying, and so you get up faster. But I want you to attack this week. I want you to start realizing the power that's inside of you. I want you to start saying, you know what? I'm going to slow down and savor. If I ask you intentionally to pick something this week you're going to change your perspective on and what you're going to savor, what would it be? Is it your health? Is it your life situation? If you're married, is it your partner? If you have children, is it your parenting? If your children are older, is it how you can support them as adults? If it's in your community, how you can be a better neighbor? Is it at work tomorrow? We can go in and say, you know what? I'm going to shine a light of the Lord living in me to make people want what I have. My wife is a really good cook. at least two times this week, I remember saying several times we're eating, this is unbelievable. This is amazing. What you just cooked is phenomenal. And it's true. And it is. And it was. But all I did was slow down and be intentional about savoring it. Don't force feed life. Savor life. Don't make it a eating competition, a living competition. Savor it. Show the next verse if you can. Psalm 118:24, we looked at it. This is a day the Lord has made. Okay? Tomorrow is a day. This next week is a day, the week the Lord has made. We will rejoice, push that button intentionally, and be glad in it. We will savor it. I want all of us to be intentional about savoring. You know, I looked up all of these studies on if we live this way, what are some of the benefits? Do you know that there are mental and emotional and social and health benefits to savoring? You'll become happier. You know, you spread more optimism. You know, as you spread more optimism, you actually lower your blood pressure and you actually create lower stress levels inside of you. Your cortisol levels actually decrease. And do you know that you actually start becoming an attractant to other people, which makes you feel more confident? Do you know that you actually start having mental clarity because as you do this, your anxiety and your pressure that you put on yourself lowers? Do you know that there are no downsides? You know, even smiling more is a stress reliever and helps your body signal that you feel better and you get healthier. Do you know it also attracts other people to you and they relax more around you, which helps you to stay relaxed? All those things because you're following this verse. Who does it really benefit? You. Quality of life increases simply because we choose to savor. How will you savor today?